Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Today's teenagers and young adults would have a tendency to understand truth through the lens of their experience. And so story becomes so critically important, as opposed to, say, through rational or logical arguments.
Boy, that is powerful insight. And if you are a parent and hearing that wisdom for the first time, I encourage you to make sure you're podcasting our programs and go back and actually review this again and again. The words there of Mark Ostreicher, formerly of Youth Specialties, now part of the Youth Cartel, and author of the book, Parent's Guide to Understanding Teenage Brains. Good friend of the Homeward Ministry, and today here on the program, Dr. Jim Burns will be talking with Marco about igniting a passion in your kids for God's Word. He's the general editor of the new Ignite Bible, and it's a different take on how we help teach God's Word to kids for the very reason that Marco just explained there in the teaser, the fact that kids are so experience-driven that you can't just rely on logic anymore, and that is very illogical to us as parents. Okay, let's get more in the conversation now. Here's part one with Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about igniting a passion for God's Word. We're going to be talking about how you can do that for kids. Mark Ostreicher is with me. He's a friend. He's authored or contributed to more than 60 books. He's an incredible thinker, an incredible writer. You'll see this immediately if you've never had the privilege to listen to Marco. He lives in San Diego, California with his wife, Jeannie, of over 25 years, and they have two teenagers, a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old. Marco, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks. Hey, thank you. Great to be here.
You have been the general editor of a brand new Bible. I'm actually holding this Bible. It's a big, thick Bible. It's a great one. Ignite, the Bible for Teens. And The reason we wanted to get you on is because so many of our listeners at Homeward have kids who are either teens or preteens. Some of them even have older kids. But one of the number one reasons why they come to our website is because they want to know how to build a spiritual legacy. Obviously, the Bible has something to do with that. But the question I want to ask you as a teen expert and teen culture expert is, do kids actually read the Bible today?
It's a great question. And the really short answer is no. but I, of course, there's plenty of great exceptions to that. And it's so easy as a lifelong youth worker, if I take off my dad hat for a moment and put on my I work with the junior hires at my church.
Right. And all of our listeners know that I am absolutely so partial to youth ministry and fanatical about it. So I'm grateful to have you on that and take off your parent hat for a moment, although I don't think we can ever do it.
It's so easy to move towards just talking about topics with teenagers and not actually engage them with Scripture. Because the hard reality that I think a lot of people wouldn't want to verbalize, but it's just true, is it's hard work as a youth worker to try to get teenagers engaged with Scripture. They'd much rather talk about hot topics, even biblical topics. And yet, we all believe, youth workers and Christian parents alike, it's just so critical that I am involved in the activity of helping my teenagers engage with Scripture. If they're going to form their own faith, we need it to be fueled by the Holy Spirit's revelation of God to them through God's primary revelation of Scripture, rather than just what they hear from us or their pastors or other secondary sources.
Yeah. Now, how do you get kids to actually then read the Bible? I mean, what I know you say and what others would say is that, you know, growing up in a lot of Christian homes, it's pretty much the church is the place where the Bible is read, not necessarily the home. And sometimes kids think it's boring, but so what do you do? I mean, do you obviously don't have them start with Leviticus. is there any way to get them to form this as more of a habit in their life?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some, what I could almost call classic approaches to that, having them read the Bible in a translation that they can understand, having them read with some level of accountability or support from some peers and other people who are in that process with them, even if they're not reading it at the same moment or time. some other things. What we tried to do, though, with the Ignite Bible, as we wrestled with this question, how do we specifically get younger teens to engage with Scripture, one of the things we tried to do was really bridge between the stuff that they naturally care about and are curious about and Scripture in a way that doesn't just create a Bible, youth Bible, with a bunch of fun and fluffy puff pieces that distract young teens from Scripture, but instead are entry points into engagement with Scripture. No. So that was our kind of attempt. How do we find ways to bridge the real issues of a young teen's life with the real help and provision and encouragement and correction that's found in Scripture?
Well, this is what I appreciate about the Ignite. I'm actually holding the Ignite Bible right now. And what it essentially is story-driven. I mean, kids love stories.
Yeah.
And so the commentary sections kind of give an overview of the story in Scripture, followed by what you kind of call the big story. I mean, talk about why story is so critical to that age.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things I insisted on very early on in this project when we were first just concepting it, was that we have to use story. I just am a firm believer, and I don't know that I would say this is hugely more true today than 30 years ago. I do think there's been a shift in how we understand what's true in our world, and today's teenagers and young adults would have a tendency to understand truth through the lens of their experience. And so story becomes so critically important, as opposed to, say, through rational or logical arguments, propositional ideas. And so that kind of a shift has maybe elevated the importance of story, but story's always been important. The beautiful thing is the Bible is story.
Right.
I don't mean that it's fiction or fairy tale, but it is a narrative. It is a whole arc of a story and a whole collection of amazing stories. And there's something beautiful that we can connect with the natural way that today's teenagers understand what's true, if we can connect their stories with the story of and stories of Scripture. So that, yeah, was a very central part of helping teenagers engage with this. On the side, Jim, and I think you've probably talked to other guests who have brought this out too, I'm amazed as a youth worker how much today's teenagers who grew up in the church don't know the stories of the Bible. I remember a time not that long ago at my church when I was teaching our junior high group, and I was referencing the story of Zacchaeus, and there was 100 junior highers in the room, and I realized I was getting blank stares, and I said, wait, how many of you know who Zacchaeus is? And three kids out of 100 raised their hand. Two of them, when I probed a little bit, two of them said, I don't really know who he is. I just remember singing a song in little kids' Sunday school about him at another church.
Zacchaeus was a tiny man. Da, 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 da.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The third one who would raise their hand was the senior pastor's daughter.
Well, that's actually good news. at least the senior pastor's daughter.
Yeah. So part of what we were trying to do in the feature called Spotlight is we said, here's the 100 stories in Scripture that you need to be familiar with to understand the grand narrative arc of what God is doing throughout history.
Now, you know, it seems like there's been a cultural shift over the years, and you've been in youth ministry for a long time, and so have I. But kids today are growing up in a culture where, you know, all truth seems to be relative. There was a recent study where they asked young people, you know, what would be a moral dilemma? And most of the young people, only 30% could come up with a moral dilemma, and 70% couldn't come up with a moral dilemma. They asked some people from Princeton University, professors, would you teach on morals and values? And they said, well, we would, but we don't know what they are or where to go, so we just don't teach about it. So again, our kids are growing up, and a lot of our parents are concerned about that. And yet at the same time, how do you take the Scripture, where there are some values and there are, you know, some morals in it, in a world that really is shifting away from that?
Yeah. Well, there's no question that you're right about that shift, which, by the way, is not all bad, that shift. I think we're a little too quick in the church to only paint it as a bad shift.
Explain that.
I believe we had an over-reliance for many years on logic and reason. I'll tell you a great example of this, a way to look at this, is the shift in the role of apologetics, learning to defend your faith. For many years, and I think of it particularly in the context of youth ministry, since that's been my world, We taught apologetics as a pathway to faith and to strengthening your faith. So apologetics was often the way we did evangelism, in a sense, right? We taught people how to create a logical argument for a reasonable and rational faith. And that worked really well in the 60s and 70s and 80s and a little bit into the 90s. It doesn't work anymore, particularly doesn't work with teenagers and young adults because of the issues that you raise. But that doesn't mean that facts, let's call them, the rational arguments for faith, right, that they go away. They just play a different role. Today they come around and play a supporting role to give strength to those things I've already chosen to believe based on my experience. So in a sense, I think of them as the buttresses on the side of a cathedral that allow the walls to be built super high and filled with stained glass to invite colored light into the interior of the cathedral. Without those buttresses to provide the strength, the walls would not be strong and sturdy. But they're a supporting role, and in many ways, that's kind of become the role of that kind of rational, propositional argument. It doesn't go away. It just plays a different role, and that shift is not all bad. I really like the move, like we talked about earlier, towards more story. What is my story? How does God want to engage who I am and the story of my life with the grand narrative of what God has been doing from prehistory throughout all time?
Great input. And actually, we have a good model. Jesus spoke in story and parables and did the exact same thing and made it personal. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Mark Ostreicher with us. We're talking about igniting a passion for God's word, especially as we talked about kids. When we come back, we're going to talk about the amount of kids who seem to be leaving faith and really in the teen years and then in the 20s, kind of not coming back. And I'm going to get his input on it. He, again, is the general editor of Ignite. It's a Bible for teens, and it's a great Bible. I'm holding it right here, and it just has all kinds of great additional parts that can help kids understand the Scripture, and Roger's going to tell you about it right now. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
One of the things about this Bible that is so interesting is a lot of times you see these study Bibles, and they put really cool covers on them, so the kids will look at them visually and say, oh, I should have this Bible. The thing about Ignite that is so helpful right now is the things that Jim and Mark Ostreicher have been talking about, the fact that kids are more experience-driven. And so the study notes in the Ignite Bible really are designed to help kids who process life that way, not just logically, but also experientially. You can learn more about the Ignite Bible for teens when you go to homeward.com. Let's finish up the program now. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. We're talking today about igniting passion for God's word, especially with your kids. Mark Ostreicher is our guest. He's a friend. He's authored or contributed to more than 60 books, and he's the general editor of a brand new book. I'm holding it. It's actually more than a book. It's the Bible. And it's called Ignite, the Bible for Teens, and it just has all kinds of really cool little things for kids as well. Marco lives in San Diego with his wife, Jeannie, and they have two kids. Two are teenagers, one in college, one in high school. And actually, when I think of kids and faith and culture and brain growth, and when I think of understanding teenage brains, I think of Marco. He was the past president of Youth Specialties, a great organization based in San Diego, and today he's doing some wonderful things. Roger has told you about it. It's at the break. You can go to theyouthcartel.com and learn more about it, and also go to his blog. Anyway, incredible privilege to have Marco with us today. Marco, one of the things that we talk about periodically on Homeward, not all the time, but periodically, is this idea that kids are leaving the church in droves as they get older. And a lot of those kids who are leaving the church in droves don't have much of a heart for the Bible or don't have much understanding of the Bible. Does the knowledge of Bible equate at all with kids leaving the church in their later teens or even in their young 20s?
Boy, that's a great question. And one, you know, that's worthy of multiple books all in and of itself, right? Let me take a couple shots at responding to it in a couple ways. One, yes, there absolutely is a lot of research showing us that late teens and early 20-somethings are leaving the church in droves. That's not necessarily new. What's new is that they're not coming back. That's the really interesting thing. I think 30 years ago, there was plenty of 17-year-olds or college freshmen in their intro to philosophy class, right, who were questioning their faith and maybe even putting their faith on hold for a while. There's one researcher that calls says they have an identity lockbox that they put their faith in for their college years. And the common wisdom or conventional wisdom used to be, oh, but once they get married and have kids, they'll come back. And we're just not seeing that that's true anymore. It is this question of what is not robust enough or sustainable enough about their faith. And for many years, I think we thought that it was about them being able to have the best arguments. The newest, or the best explanation, I should say, for their faith. The newest research on this is showing us, and boy, this is important for parents to understand, that the critical factor is not, this is counterintuitive, so hold on. The critical factor is not the accuracy of their faith, or their theology, let's say. It's that they have articulated it. They have said it, literally spoken it aloud. They have verbalized what they believe, and usually that means multiple times because there's different iterations and versions of it throughout the teenage years. What we're finding is that in so many homes and in so many youth ministries and churches these days, that teenagers are treated as passive observers or consumers, and they really don't have an opportunity to give verbalization to what they believe. And the newest research is showing us without that verbalization, it isn't there. They don't hold on to it. So it becomes critical for us as parents to have conversations about spiritual stuff. Get your teenagers to verbalize what they believe. Be less concerned with its accuracy than with the verbalization itself. Trust that God is actually going to continue to move. And Jim, I know this is a long answer, but this is also then where Scripture comes in and why we created this Bible.
And really, one of the things that I think parents can do on a practical level is have faith conversations in the home. And parents oftentimes feel that's awkward, or I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew and whatnot. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't hear you say they needed to have incredible, perfect exegesis and teaching. That can happen in the church, but it's faith conversations. Yeah. How does this apply, you know, to the home? I had a friend of mine who recently, with their 15-year-old daughter, who loves Hannah Montana, now Miley Cyrus, he actually they hadn't seen the, you know, the big, you know, hubbub on the VMAs, and yeah. So he actually went back and said, let's watch this together. And I'm not assuming that every parent who's listening to our program thinks that's a great idea, but I did. Said, let's watch this together and let's talk about how this relates to our life and to our faith and to our values.
Yeah,
Then didn't start by saying, here's what I think. You know, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Said, what do you think about that? And he then told me the conversation, Marco, and it was a phenomenal conversation. Mm. They actually had a faith conversation, you know, and I'm sure Miley Cyrus wasn't expecting her video to have faith conversation components to it. But, you know, I thought that was a pretty neat thing that parent did.
Yeah, you know, young teen brains, and I know that you know this, Jim, but young teen brains have this new ability to speculate. It's brand new. Preteens and children don't really have the cognitive capacity to ask what if and why questions. And so that new speculation muscle, let's call it, it's not technically a muscle, that new speculation muscle opens up whole new vistas in terms of faith development. And parents, boy, we need to be intentional about asking what if and why questions. Here's the crazy thing. They have this new capacity for speculation, what if and why, but they're not very good at it because they haven't exercised that muscle.
Yeah.
And so if we take them to the shores of speculation, asking what if and why questions, asking them to articulate their faith, that is fantastic ministry to our young teens and middle and older teens as we help them to exercise that abstract thinking, that speculation, which furthers their faith development. And that's really what, you know, it's funny, I didn't create the Ignite Bible, really, to be honest, thinking of the interaction of parents and teenagers. I created it specifically for the young teens themselves. But in so many ways, this would be a wonderful tool for parents to use in dialogue with their teenagers.
Yeah, and, you know, I caught that. As I looked through this, I was thinking, you know, parents today, I think a lot of Christian parents want to have faith conversations. I wrote a book called Faith Conversations with Families, and it's basically just 152 faith conversations, some of them very abstract, some of them a little bit more concrete. But as I was looking at yours, I thought, how cool that you open the Bible and you can look at something that you might call soul food, or there's a section, I just happened to open it in Jeremiah, who is God? And it actually says kind of a get it, live it, find it. I mean, it's a real practical thing. Because what I find is parents, they may not have the confidence to, you know, to go to the scripture and do some teaching. And frankly, they may not do as good a job because, you know, it might be boring, but they can take tools. And so I see Ignite the Bible for Teens as a tool for kids to maybe even have read it themselves, but also maybe their parents and them on a weekly basis or so. We started doing this in our home. I can't say that our kids every week went raw, but we gave them great fun food. You know, we'd pour out the ice cream and, you know, do all these things. And then for a short time, we'd have some faith conversations. Sometimes we didn't even have the Bible in front of us because we used one verse or whatever. And then we talked about topics, kind of the similar things you can find I mean, you have the whole Bible here, but you also have these hot topics. Our kids liked it. The reason they liked it partly was not just because of the deep conversation, because it wasn't always deep, but it was because of the really cool ice cream that happened at the same time. So it was a fun feeling for them. And so parents can use something like this to have these faith conversations. I mean, wouldn't you say that that's a positive way of looking at it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two elements that really lend themselves to that. The one is the white hot topics, which are 10 subjects that we felt like every junior higher needs to know what the Bible says about these. They're not hot topics. These are more like, who is God and who are you? That kind of question. Each of those have 6 entries tied to scripture passages. Again, all designed to engage with scripture, not to be something that distracts you from scripture.
That's really
Then there's these flashpoints, which there's 60 of these with 6 components each that are more the topics or the questions that junior hires themselves would be asking.
That's really good. Marco, thanks so much for being with us, and really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jim.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Mark Ostreicher here on the Homeward Broadcast. Actually, it's part 2 of a 2-part conversation Jim and Marco had about understanding teenage brains and igniting a passion in your kids for God's Word. We encourage you to go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, and you can start going to the podcast section there, and you can sign up and get our podcast going right into your MP3 player. Find out that information on how to get that going at homeward.com.
I distinctly remember a time when I was speaking to a bunch of high school kids and junior high school kids at a Christian school. And it's interesting because I've been a youth pastor and a youth worker in my previous life before getting involved in family ministry. And I love doing that, and I love speaking to kids. I think I was speaking to about 250,000 of them a year. And yet at the same time, the Christian school was a hard one. And this particular time, I was talking about getting into God's Word. I invited these kids to make what I called the 50-day challenge. And I said, spend 10 minutes a day with God for the next 50 days. And the reason I did that is because if you do something for 3 weeks, you form a habit. And if you do something for another 3 weeks, you form a habit for a lifetime. So for some reason, I just pulled out 50 days. And so I said to the kids in this, I had not planned to do this. And this is kind of the funny part. I had invited these kids to actually sign a card if they were willing to do 50 days with God. And I said, if you complete this, and everybody doesn't have to and everybody's not going to, but if you will, then I will buy you lunch. I knew the Christian school pretty well. There were about 300 kids in this room. Well, 116 kids did that. I had two things. Praise God. Number two, I went, my wife's going to kill me because this was a $500 now cost. And I was volunteering my time to speak at this school. But then I thought, after 50 days, there won't be that many kids who will do it. Well, after 50 days, 84 kids went through this 50-day challenge. You know what? I then started meeting with these kids for lunch. I'd bring 5 at a time. I'd throw them in my van. We'd go to the local Mexican restaurant. And I'd say, how was this? And they'd say, well, what's next? You know, they would be energized and enthused. And I'm convinced that if we can get kids on a small basis to read God's Word and to plant the Word of God in their life, that these are the kids who will stay in the church. These are the kids who will be willing to have faith conversations with you as a parent or as a grandparent. So don't underestimate the fact. If your kids say that the Bible's boring or they say that church is boring, I'm still challenging you to find resources. And you can actually go to the homeward.com website and find 2 resources for kids, Addicted to God and One Life. They're all 50 days. They're a little, they're kind of, frankly, devotions light. They're a scripture and a story, just as Marco was talking about. And again, I think the Ignite the Bible for Teens is a great resource as well. Anyway, just wanted to throw that illustration and idea at you to know that kids, not all kids, but a lot of kids will take on the challenge. Raise the bar. Get them reading God's Word. It will change their life.
And if you're looking for resources with which to do this challenge, to actually follow up on it, go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and browse a while. We have lots of different materials for you there at homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.